Well, you know, in the past, we normally think of the guns versus butter debate as being a debate between spending federal dollars on domestic programs versus spending on defense. But I argue that actually, in the next few years, the new guns versus butter debate is a debate that's happening within the defense budget, between the butter items of the defense budget and the gun items of the defense budget. And so what I mean by that, the butter items of the budget are the things that pay for the care and the welfare of the people, pay and benefits and health care and items like that in the budget, versus the guns part of the budget, which pays for equipment and buying next generation weapon systems and training and operations. And going into the future, these two different halves of the budget are increasingly going to be at odds with one another.
In their statements, Secretary Gates and Deputy Secretary Lynn said that we can expect at most 1% growth in the top line, which is really below the rate of inflation. So there's no real growth there on the top line.
Well, they're talking about 1% growth above the rate of inflation. So it is a slight amount of growth.
Okay, but what Mr. Lynn in particular said is that we can't get to the goals they have of Pentagon savings and armed services savings simply through efficiency. He said some programs are going to have to go. What are some likely programs that would go?
Well, you know, they're looking at a lot of things, and what Secretary Gates has really focused on at first is cutting out some of the bureaucracy, some of the administrative levels within the Pentagon. Looking at each of the different services and all the different headquarters staffs that they have, and questioning, do we need all of this? Could we cut out some of these headquarters? Could we streamline some of our operations? He cited, examples of how many, dozens of layers, within the bureaucracy you have to go to get, between him and a soldier on the ground in Iraq and Afghanistan. And he wants to cut some of that out. That's a good start, but there's some other larger issues in the budget that they really haven't begun to address yet. In particular, military health care. Military health care costs right now consume about 1/10 of the base defense budget, and it's growing. Healthcare costs are growing at a rate of 5 to 7% above the rate of inflation. It's for a number of reasons, but the bottom line for DOD is they've got to get these costs better under control, or it's just going to eat them alive.
But that sounds like the kind of thing that would run them right into a political buzzsaw. And so how likely are they to achieve these goals in the short term, given the way Congress is?
Well, it's going to be very difficult, and I think that this is the challenge for DOD. In the past, the previous administration had proposed at one time some relatively honest changes in DOD health care, making military retirees pay a little bit more for their coverage. And we're not talking about much here. Right now, the rate that military retirees pay for their health care is for a family plan, for example, it's $460 per year. And that compares to what the average American worker pays their part of their health care for a similar family plan is $3,500 a year. So there's a big discrepancy there. And the rate that military retirees pay for the health care plan has not increased at all since it was initially set 15 years ago. So what the previous administration proposed was, hey, let's raise these up, and it would be different, depending on, what rank you retired at. I think the highest level was about $1,400 a year. That's what they're going to raise it to. And then let's index it to inflation going in the future. Well, they got hit over the head by Congress pretty hard by even proposing that. Of course, it didn't pass, and they haven't proposed anything like that since then. And the new administration hasn't decided to touch this healthcare issue either. So, in all likelihood, this is going to be a very difficult thing for the department to do. But, what I'm arguing here is if they don't, if these trends are allowed to continue, the butter parts of the budget, like healthcare, are going to grow so much that it's going to be squeezing out investments in modernizing our force.
And do you see any other cuts that are areas that are ripe for being cut? You said 10% of the budget. That's a big target. What are some of the others, if any, that are close to that in scope that might give some big results quickly?
Well, this isn't really a cut, but each year DOD has been proposing pay raises for the troops that equal what's the average of what's going on in the private sector in terms of pay. It's called the Employment Cost Index. It's the measure they use. And so the pay raise that they put forward this year equals the Employment Cost Index. But Congress has been, in the past decade, adding on an extra 0.5% above that. And so what that does is that adds in now additional money in the budget that DOD has to fund for pay increases, not just that year, but because it increases the pay scale overall, they have to keep paying that year after year after year. Congress has done that for just about every year in the past decade. And so each time they do it, it's added another $500 million or so that DOD has had to fund every year from there forward. That's a large amount of money that DOD has to pay. So one thing that DOD has been pushing, the administration has been pushing with Congress, is to not add that extra 0.5% pay increase this year because of the long-term budget impacts. But if they don't succeed at that, what we're looking at in the long run is the best way for DOD to control personnel costs is to reduce the number of personnel, reduce the size of the force. And, you know, that is not a likely thing to happen anytime soon, particularly in the Army and Marine Corps, when we're already stressing the force with deployments to Iraq and Afghanistan. But I think it is something DOD is going to have to look at in, you know, 5-10 years.
And what about the economy? Can we afford this military that we have long term?
Well, that's a good question. So there's two ways of looking at this, and these numbers get floated around a lot. If you look at it in terms of inflation-adjusted dollars, we are spending more now on defense, total national defense budget, than we have at any time since World War II. More than we did at the peak of the Reagan arms buildup, more than we did during Vietnam or during Korea. Now, looking at another way, as a percent of GDP, we're not at an all-time high by any measure. We're at about 4.9% of GDP, and that compares to, you know, a post-World War II average of about 6.5%.
So bottom line, do you think that the initiative, which seems to have started with Secretary Gates, but it sounds like it's really an administration gambit here to get these cost reductions over 5 years, will they get those savings, do you think?
Well, they've structured it in a way this time that actually provides a pretty good incentive for the services to do this, because they're not just taking money out of the services' budgets. What they're doing is they're saying, if you can cut some of your administrative and overhead costs, and they're asking each of the services to do, you know, about $1 billion or so in the next budget for fiscal year 12, if you can cut that money out of administrative costs, we will let you then reinvest that within your own budget in modernization initiatives. So we're talking, you know, equipment, procurement, R&D. And so that actually provides the services with a good incentive to really try to do that, because any savings they find, they don't just lose that money. They actually get to reinvest it in themselves.